This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is still shut down and could stay that way for a while. There is no movement on compromise, but there is a budget vote expected in the Senate today that is likely to fail. Police in Manchester, England say one of the two people killed in the synagogue attack yesterday was accidentally killed by police. A massive fire at a Chevron oil facility in El Segundo, California, south of L.A. ABC's Trevor Ault has more on the intense flames.
Firefighters rushing to the scene in El Segundo, California around 9:30 last night, trying to tackle that gigantic blaze. Several fires burning within the facility.
Yeah, we have heavy flames showing from the refinery.
Towering flames and billowing smoke turning the night sky red. The inferno could be seen for miles.
Today is sentencing day for Sean Diddy Combs in New York. He is expected to address the court and apologize. Prosecutors are asking he receive 11-year sentence. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The High Ground in Neillsville will host its third annual military couples retreat. Operation Reconnect, Friday through Sunday, October 17th through 19th. The High Ground will welcome five couples, veterans, and their spouses or partners, regardless of where they are in their relationship journey, to participate in a weekend of interactive and insightful activities. This unique retreat is designed to deepen connections and offer a supportive home front approach. Operation Reconnect is thoughtfully designed to create a safe, calm environment where couples can share openly and feel supported. For partners who experience active duty and deployments alongside their veterans, they witness the transitions as they unfold. For couples who meet after service, those experiences can feel distant until the impact surfaces unexpectedly. Throughout the weekend, couples will engage in enriching exercises led by peer support facilitators and subject matter experts. These sessions are designed to cultivate friendship, boost affection, enhance communication, and provide space for couples to learn and grow together. Advance retreat reservation is required by October 1st. Upon reservation, lodging arrangements will be made and a $50 reservation fee is required. This fee will be refunded upon the couple's arrival at the retreat. All lodging meals and materials are provided. However, transportation to and from the retreat is the responsibility of the participants. For more information or to reserve your spot, contact Monty at 715-743-4224 or email donations at thehighground.org. The Kiwanis Club of Richland Center will be holding a pancake supper. The all-you-can-eat pancake supper will be held from 5 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Here come the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Chicago Cubs beat the Padres last night 3-1. It's the first time the Cubs have ever won the final game of a playoff series at Wrigley Field. Up next, they'll face off against the Brewers at American Family Field in Milwaukee. Game one, the best of five National League Divisional Series. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's Cubs-Brewers. That's going to be, you know, as good as it gets. It's always a great atmosphere when the two teams play each other. We'll try to get as many Cubs fans in there as we can. They won't like that, but it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I know that.
Freddy Peralta on the mound for Milwaukee. The first pitch at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon. College football. The Badgers against number 20th ranked Michigan. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Big House in Ann Arbor. The Badgers still dealing with injuries on the offensive line.
It's another one of those things that's just been most difficult. It's not knowing in your preparation who are you or will you have as you get towards Saturday.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep. Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, have you ever played a video game or seen an ad that says, play our game, we'll give you money? Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to talk about whether or not that's true.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Oh, that's pretty good so far. Yeah.
Now, from Nashville, the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, I was a little high there at the end, but that was nice. Thank you, Parker Olson. Appreciate that very much.
I do what I can for you, Pat.
Yes, you do. Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here on this Friday morning, October 2nd. Coming up, we will have Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel forming our Week in Review panel. I'll have a few comments in a couple of minutes here about Derek Van Orden and what he has said this week that further besmirches his service and the uniform that he once wore. But first, let's check in the mailbag here in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube. And from Rob, we've got a good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 56. He's got 5 yards to mow in Tigerton. He says much of northern Wisconsin is now in a drought. Tigerton hasn't had measurable rain since September, and with the falling leaves could increase the fire risk as well. So a good little note of caution from Rob in Tigerton. From a weather standpoint, I mean, it is definitely not fall-like yet, temperature-wise. I mean, we have temperatures that are going to be coming close to or setting records. Then a cold front is supposed to push in sometime around Sunday and will make things breezy. And then we will start the next work week with much more fall-like temperatures. Of course, we've got updated forecasts for you throughout the day on your Civic Media radio station. Tony noting on YouTube, yes, it hasn't rained in a while, which we hadn't really noticed because, you know, it isn't like growing season anymore, so folks don't think about it. But yeah, it's starting to get a little dry out there. Let's see. It is 7:08. That seems like as good a time as any to do our first round of the day for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The green and gold would be cash and jewelry. And I believe this might be the final day of this. So you better get some entries in. Entries plural. There are 7 chances to win throughout the course of the day. You send us a text through the Civic Media app. You look up a station. You use the text button. And you send us a keyword before the end of the hour. So before 8 o'clock this morning, you've got to send in the keyword that I'm about to give you. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner today will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, and then one really lucky winner gets the 2-week contest grand prize. That would be 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game in Green Bay on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. I supposed to get home, too. Total value of the prize package is more than $1,500. And so if you're ready, and I almost am, let's go find that keyword of the day for our Text to Win contest. The word is love. You know, like Jordan. So again, the text word is love. text that in before 8 o'clock this morning to be entered for our prize of the day and also for the big grand prize as we start to wrap up the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Again, love is the word, and your next chance to win will be in the 9 o'clock hour with Greg Bach and Jane Matinair as part of Matinair On Air. All right, well, let's get to what Congressman Derek Van Orden has been doing once again to bring a little dishonor to service that we should be saluting. And I say that as the proud son of a soldier. And I have great admiration and gratitude toward anyone who serves in America's armed forces. But here's the thing. Service in and of itself is not a blank check. There are duties of service that go beyond what you do in a battlefield or in any other capacity. Service is perpetual. And that includes the things that you say and do when you are no longer wearing the uniform, and especially the things you say and do when you run for and serve in elected office. Now, I know there are people like Derek Van Orden who see elected office and politics as some kind of an easy punching bag, and they treat their own service in office as some kind of a joke, like it's beneath them to be part of something that we all like to complain about. But politics isn't something that's beneath you. It's an essential part of a free and functioning democracy. Another essential part of a functional and strong democracy is a healthy respect for the men and women who serve in leadership roles in our military. Now, again, I'm not saying military leaders get a blank check. They, too, can make mistakes. Some of them can be not good people. Some of them not good battle planners in retrospect. But to trash military leadership as a group, as you're about to hear from former Navy SEAL Derek Van Orden, does a disservice not just to the leadership, but to all the troops, sailors, Marines, airmen, and others all up and down the chain of command. So listen to this latest outburst from Congressman Van Orden about military leadership on the Vicki McKenna Show, reacting to what was said to them by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth earlier this week.
And me and my buddies spent over 20 years in sustained combat, and we have been waiting for somebody to tell these generals to do their damn jobs. They turned the war in Afghanistan and Iraq into a Vanity Fair project. They competed on how many people they had in their personal security details. They competed on their quarters to make sure they had the fanciest things ever. And they did things over and over again to get promoted. So we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, but we actually fought about 40 different wars because these general officers and flag officers came in and they had to do their own footprint to get promoted. That's why we lost those wars. The general officers and flag officers turned it into a vanity project, and it was disgusting. And I've never seen any type of vitriol from the enlisted and junior officers towards the general officers and flag officers in the GWAT. And wow. Pete Hegseth is roping them up hard.
At the end there, he says GWAT. That's the acronym for Global War on Terror. Now, set aside the whole Pete Hegseth, Donald Trump debacle, if you can, because on its own, what happened this week was a national embarrassment, and it damaged American prestige across the globe, no matter how much Derek Van Orden wants to cheer for it. But let's set that aside and just focus on Van Orden's desire to play me too, when it comes to talking down the generals. Because again, he is an elected official. Young men and women should be inspired by what he says about service. Instead, he's whining, which is talking pretty big for someone who has 20/20 hindsight about what took place in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not some kind of a special gift to be able to criticize leaders after an outcome has been determined. So all he's really managed to do is undermine the military. His disdain for his own leaders brings comfort to enemies, and it gives pause to young men and women who might now second guess whether to serve because of his whining. It's also pretty big talk for someone who was, to put it charitably, insurrection adjacent on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. That's right, Congressman. We haven't forgotten that either, your role that day. In deciding to fly to Washington on that January 6th day, by the way, using campaign funds, to help rally for a cause that was rooted in a lie. by a man who tried to overturn an American election and encouraged the armed insurrection that followed. You willingly chose to take part in that. Even if you never stepped foot inside the Capitol, even if you personally never attacked a single police officer on the grounds that day, you chose to be there for reasons that were faulty and embarrassing to your own previous service. The role that he played is only magnified as he takes elected office and also now attacks people using the very First Amendment freedoms he allegedly promised to defend. But now when teachers and doctors and people from all walks of life try to assert their First Amendment freedom of expression, people in office, like Congressman Van Orden, get them fired. He simply lacks the emotional temperament to defend our country from enemies foreign and domestic when he sees political disagreements as domestic terrorism and when he sees his military commanders as political targets. It's not just that he's not worthy of the office. He's not worthy of the uniform. And again, we have gratitude for his service at the time in the military, but his service in Congress has become too much of an embarrassment for his district, for the state, and frankly, for the country. It is 7:16 right now, and turning to other and much lighter matters, we now know who the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be playing in the National League Division Series after the Chicago Cubs defeated the San Diego Padres in the wild card round of the playoffs. And so we now know as well the start times for at least the first couple of games, Cubs versus Brewers at American Family Field. And that includes, we also know when the pregame will be taking place for the Brewers too. And it is now a 1:08 first pitch on Saturday, Brewers versus Cubs. So 12:35 is when the pregame will begin on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward as well. So again, that is for game one on a Saturday afternoon. But then game two, also at American Family Field, is going to be later. It's going to be a late start. The first pitch will be at 8:08, which means the pregame will be about 7:35, Parker, if I'm not mistaken. And that's when, again, we can do what Parker wants in this series, which really has become the story of the day. It's not the Taylor Swift album. It's not anything else. It's Parker declaring that he wants to make the children of Chicago cry.
Yes.
Because of the way the Brewers are going to stomp on the Cubs in the National League Division Series.
Yes.
Like, no. You have no regrets about saying
yeah,
it that way.
You know, there's more to it than just dunking on Chicago sports fans. It's building character, Pat.
Building character.
Yes.
I like that.
You need to go through adversity in life. And what is sports but adversity?
There is a lot of heartbreak involved, you know, and that's the thing with taking on the Cubs with this series. It's going to be a case of, you know, highest highs, lowest lows. If we lose, it's going to stink, you know, and something that will always stick with us. But if we can get to the National League Championship Series by ramming it down Craig Counsell's throat and making everybody in Chicago a little more despondent.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. And I'm not just saying that because Chicago radio legend Joan Esposito is waiting here. When we say we want the children of Chicago in tears, we'd be saying that anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm betting Joan's going to want some equal time on this in just a couple of minutes. But before we go, along with the Brewers playing tomorrow against the Cubs, we also have the Badgers playing in Ann Arbor against Michigan. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff, and the coverage will begin at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Once again, our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, last day of it, is going on right now. And the word this hour is love. So get on that Civic Media app, head over to any of the stations and use the text feature and text love, L-O-V-E, before 8 o'clock to be in the running for the daily prize and the grand prize to see Green Bay play Minnesota in Green Bay next month. Great indoor seats for a nice little football game. So still ahead, the aforementioned Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are both off this week. And Jim Santel, we're going to talk to him about the recent dismissal of a lawsuit filed by a Waukesha teacher fired for a social media post. Doesn't that sound familiar in this day and age? I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We are honored to have State Senator Sarah Kievsky of the 14th Senate District in to talk about all of the things, concerns, and goings-on in the state of Wisconsin. I know that, you coming from Cashton, that's your old alma mater, and let's say that they suddenly decided to consolidate with Westby. What a blow that would be for that small town of Cashton, right?
Yeah, the other piece that I would say, and I know this is getting into the feelings, but there is so much sense of community, sense of pride, sense of connection, sense of gathering spaces that give you a place where you belong. With a school and going to the high school football game, let's say, or attending the mock trial or going to, see the theater production. There is a sense of belonging there for the entire community that when we are saying we're having a greater crisis of mental health issues, a sense of disconnection, a sense of isolation and loneliness, this will only precipitate that further. And so then we are thinking about health implications. Then we're thinking about, what does that mean as far as just like the sense of, pursuit of happiness in this world, and this idea that we get to live in a world that we also get to enjoy and feel fulfilled by, right? Like, it's not just about finances then, it's about other things that are a little bit less tangible. And so we have to kind of think of that. I know that can't be the primary, but it is a piece that we would lose if we decide the Kashtan Eagles are no longer, right? And we now join another school and blend them in some way that loses an identity, loses a sense of belonging, loses connection in a significant way that I think would be really, really painful and sad. And I think have, again, trickle down impacts that I think are important to recognize.
Senator Sarah Kieski, our guest in the morning show. Always a good time when she visits, and we'll have a little bit more coming up here on the morning show. Joining us is Senator Sarah Kieski. I haven't heard your name bandied about in terms of running for governor yet.
Oh, gosh, you will never hear my name bandied about for running for governor. Nope, I'm fine where I am, and I do not aspire to any such thing. And I feel for every single person putting their hat in that ring, because, boy, oh, boy, is that going to be a challenging race and a challenging job going forward, just given everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of things to talk about. We talked in the break a little bit about our local community forum that we recently had, and one of the topics was net new construction, which is very, very a hot topic here in Richland Center. Any comments on that, Senator Kieski?
Yeah, well, you know, some of the way to increase revenue is tied to net new construction for our municipalities, which in some ways makes sense and has its value. But I think, again, for some rural small communities, either that can't really grow, and Richland Center is one of those that struggles to grow because of the location, kind of the way that your city is designed and where it's at topographically. And similar to Lodi, we have a hard time growing. We're kind of in this like little valley. And in some ways, growth shouldn't always be the barometer of how you get help, financial help, because that means you're always having to push toward growth. And some of us that live in small towns, we don't necessarily want to grow bigger. And so if that's the incentive, it kind of precludes financial investments in small towns that can be really beneficial, because they're not growing in the way that the financial formula has sort of implicated it must do, if that makes sense. And so I find it frustrating. Again, one of the formula things that are in here that I'm learning about that just feels a little counterintuitive in some ways, where I'm hoping that there's some recognition of that and some ways to change that, that honor areas where growth is not either a viable option or necessarily promoted or desired option.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be meeting with Mayor Todd, I believe, somewhere along the line to talk about that.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Mayor Todd and I are meeting today. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully he sees that on his schedule and is as delighted as I am to chat, because I'm really eager to talk to him again about what's been happening here locally and learn the lay of the land and the current challenges and struggles.
Certainly concerning in the news, all the violence that's been going on. I wanted to ask you about your opinion about safety at the state capitol in the wake of all the recent violence. Do you feel that it's safe there while you're in session?
Well, oh, goodness. You know, I'm not somebody that, like, is a fearful person in general. I don't know. I grew up on a farm and we never locked our doors and we always kept our keys in the ignition. I mean, I just lived in a way that we trusted. And I still have a real, maybe naive, but hopeful idea of humanity. And so I don't worry a ton, just in general. But when the Minnesota legislator, Melissa Hortman, and her husband, and when they were killed recently in an assassination that happened because of their political roles, and when there was a list of politicians this person was potentially targeting, and it had some of my colleagues' names on it and the names of their pets and their addresses and their children's names.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Welcome in on a Friday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Today, we're bringing a story straight from the show ring at World Dairy Expo. Meet Cammy Dorn, one half of Cadence Farms in New Glarus, Wisconsin. Together with her husband, they milk about 65 registered Guernsey cows in a tie stall barn while also working 500 acres of row crops. This year, their dedication paid off in a truly unforgettable way. Their cow, Cadence Farms Lovely, was named Grand Champion and Senior Champion of the International Guernsey Show.
I mean, this means everything. These are the goals, right? I mean, you put in the effort of working with them regularly. The cow that won Grand was bred by my in-laws, Dennis and Mary Kay. I mean, it's a dream come true to see your cow shine out there. When my family sold out in 2017, I took some of their cows and joined his family farm. So we have like three prefixes under one family farm. And to see his cow win Grand, his side of the family, and then my side of the family cow won Reserve Grand, to see both of our families tie in together and win the show was just, I mean, what more could you ask for?
Cammy Dorn of Cadence Farms in New Glarus. Find more World Dairy Expo coverage at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news on the way.
Maybe you remember finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too much carnival food. We all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to share the fair story. We're accepting entries now, and there are cash prizes. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
A case of highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1, has been confirmed in a commercial poultry flock in Jefferson County. The virus does not pose a risk to the food supply. There have been no detections in Wisconsin's dairy herd. In other news, October is Cooperative Month. Here at World Dairy Expo, we're talking with a few of Wisconsin's 700-plus cooperatives, such as Organic Valley, Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, and Farm First, to name a few. From the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Man, look at us collecting all this love over here, mostly because that's the key word for this hour, love, L-O-V-E, and the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. But let me get over to my other screen here and thank some of the folks who've been texting in. Jessica and Cudahy did. Let's see. There's Rhonda in South Milwaukee. Jim in Brookfield. Yep, you got it there. But Jim in Germantown, that was a misspelling. Just to give you a hint, you might want to try again and put in love, L-O-V-E. Let's see. And then we've got Meredith in Madison. Also got the keyword wrong. She sends in on the text line, oh, I love gym time. Well, that's not the keyword, but that is probably a commentary on Jim Santel. So, Jim, you have a fan out there as well.
From all the bar is now very high. I'll try to live up to that expectation.
I don't doubt that you can do that all the way. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here, as well as Joan Esposito from WCPT Radio in Chicago. Find what she's doing over at heartlandsignal.com. Jim, let me start with you now on something with a tie to Wisconsin, a court case. And I don't know if we're going to be all done hearing about it or if there's going to be an appeal, but it's about a teacher in Waukesha who made a social media post about the song Rainbow Land not being used. The school district wouldn't allow it to be used. She put up a post about it. And now for the second time in a week, we're talking about a Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. This particular one filed a First Amendment lawsuit, which was recently dismissed. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, and this is once again underscoring what we all are focusing on today, as you just indicated, First Amendment rights. This is Melissa Temple. I should say to you and Joan and your listeners that I know Melissa well. And although she was never a client of mine, I certainly have spoken to her about these kinds of issues and work with her in the community. So I want to let everybody know that up front in terms of who she is and where she comes from. Got it just right. The big question here as I look at this is, got it again, Pat, accurately noting that she complained about the fact that the district is not allowing her first grade class to sing Rainbow Land. So that's how we're talking about these issues today. What happens is she does file this lawsuit, goes to a federal magistrate judge. Her name is Nancy Joseph. Interestingly, she is also the same magistrate judge who recently recommended to the district court the case against Hannah Dugan not be dismissed. Here, the judge interestingly finds that Ms. Temple, Melissa, was in fact speaking as a private citizen at the time, and that she was speaking on a matter of public concern. You might think, well, gee, private citizen, public concern, shouldn't that mean that she's got the capacity to do it? All kinds of cases out there. There's an interesting case called Garcetti from 20 years ago having to do with these very issues and the restrictions on government employees there. But here in the end, the magistrate judge says you got to do some balancing, which is what typically judges do. And she says that the interests of the school board when it comes to things like receiving phone calls and some additional police presence that they decided to have at various locations, some emails and staff they're banding about, some disharmony, as they said, among some staff members, all of that, overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly. And that's the issue that should be debated in the public domain.
I just don't know about that, Joan. Yeah. When it says that the teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations so that its interest took precedence in the case. And look, you can accuse me of going apples and oranges here, but if she couldn't put up a social media post about a song, what if this were 50, 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school? Would we also say, well, that just disrupted the district's operations? You've got to let them stay segregated. And Joan, I know you and I, you know, aren't former U.S. attorneys, but on appearances, this just looks funny.
Jim, this is why people hate the courts. Mm-hmm. They really do. This whole, you know, both sidesing. That's essentially the, I mean, it's a First Amendment right. And even if she did disrupt what happened at the school board, maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted. This is the kind of court ruling that makes me just want to tear out my hair. Well, this idea that somehow you can make everybody happy, or, well, you're really right, but you're not all that right, or maybe there's some right in the other side. Kill me now.
It's a matter of, when it comes to social media posts, which I get, we're still in the relative infancy of social media in terms of, you know, the history of the entire constitutional republic here, Jim, but marry that along with the Ellsworth teacher who Congressman Derek Van Orden, you know, helped get ousted from a job for a social media post. And I don't want to believe that the recommendation here is that teachers are some kind of a lesser employee and therefore should not have First Amendment rights on social media. And I get if you accuse me of being oversimplistic.
Right. No, lesser human being is right. What that judge is saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't think you are being simplistic at all. We know that there's no right that is unqualified, is unconditional. But we've always placed, as Joan was just indicating, the First Amendment, right? We talk a lot about how, even if this does have some disruption, the courts are plain. You can say offensive things. You can say things that are unpopular. We exalt that. We say that that's the marketplace of ideas. Even if you don't like them, that's what the First Amendment is all about. And here again, we've got a situation where the question, as you said at the outset, Pat, is, do you take this up on appeal? My concern, candidly, and I know that the lawyers are going to be talking about this, is you don't want the Court of Appeals to codify something here, maybe affirming the district court judge. It basically says, well, you know, if you've got a governmental entity, if you've got a school board, and the community doesn't like what the teacher said, then you can fire that person or impose some discipline. That would be a very bad precedent at a higher court level that I'm concerned about as this goes forward.
Well, then, Jim, can we get that Fox host fired who said that unhoused people should be euthanized? How right. about that? That was right. offensive to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we protect that, right? That's exactly the point, Joan, right? We protect that offensive language, yes.
You know, when I appear on Joan's show occasionally down in Chicago, there's one subject that always seems to come, well, there are a few, but Derek Van Orden, the congressman, comes up with increasing frequency. I don't know if Joan has me on all the time just to share the latest crazy thing that Ron Johnson said, or now Derek Van Orden. But earlier in this hour, we played a clip from him on a radio show. It just absolutely trashing the, you know, the generals and all the other military leaders, you know, based on his own experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm not taking away anything from Derek Van Orden's First Amendment rights, even though he's going after other people's First Amendment rights. However, Jim, you know, as somebody like yourself who served as well, I wondered how those comments set with you, not just the ones that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump made about military leaders, but a sitting member of Congress from Wisconsin and retired Navy SEAL saying the things that he said about America's military leadership.
They set very, very badly with me. I spent about 2 years or so as a civilian working with JAG attorneys who are spectacular. And yes, the colonels and the generals there who are, again, regardless of what you may think about the war and all those issues, a lot of baggage there. These are tirelessly working people. And the notion that somehow they are engaged in some sort of vanity projects there, I saw nothing of that. And in fact, for what it's worth, with respect to the convocation there at Quantico with the president, the secretary of defense, I recall very well that when the generals and colonels were summoned back to Washington from Baghdad and from Kirkuk and from Mosul, other places, with due respect, they would never say this out loud. They hated it. Why? Because, again, number one, they could communicate much more easily, even by civets across the planet. But number two, it removed them from their capacity in the field to do the jobs that they were doing. So many things about this, including Van Orden's comment, are not just actually wrong as a very, very provable matter, but also hugely offensive to me, who watched our military in that setting do nothing but protect the interests of not just Americans and our interests there, but also Iraqi populations, other members of our coalition forces there.
And Joan, I mean, what happened there this week was, again, it was an embarrassment to hear what Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth had to say. But I mean, we use this phrase all the time, but we now have the ultimate example of this meeting could have been an email. What was the discussion like for you and your listeners?
Well, I had retired former Major General Randy Manner on to talk about it, and he... You know, he reiterated over and over again that the military will not forget their obligation is to serve the Constitution and to serve the people. And they're not political. At one point, did you hear when Donald Trump was speaking to them? He looked at them and he said, you know, you can applaud. And Randy said, no, actually, I mean, these aren't just green recruits, you know, who are going to applaud every time Donald Trump looks at them. These are the brass. They have military discipline. They want to be, they're supposed to be apolitical. And you're absolutely right. Randy pointed out part of the reason why this in-person gathering was so expensive. He said, when you're at that level in the military, when you travel with aides, you travel with security. Every person in that room basically showed up in Washington with an entourage. It cost millions for that in-person meeting. And of course, they have secure channels. You know, Randy said that within 1 hour, with 1 hour's notice, this same crowd could have been gathered to hear the same message over secure channels.
I honestly wonder, coming out of all of this, because of everything you just said, Joan, all the security, all the travel arrangements and everything, how much more was this an intelligence gathering operation for Vladimir Putin and others? They got such a view of how American military command and security works at a global level that they never would have received otherwise. And honestly, if Donald Trump does not have a filter. And if at some point he says, you know, about this, oh, yeah, I got that idea. You know, Vladimir gave me that idea. He thought it would be a good idea to get all the leadership together. And he's just a useful enough puppet to be used in that way. And I am just, again, just embarrassed at what came of this and you know, how we go forward from here. I've only got about 2 minutes left here, so I just want to get some really quick answers on the shutdown before we go to break here. Jim, we'll start with you, again, as a former U.S. attorney. What's the impact of government shutdowns when it comes to federal prosecutors having to do their work and continue to seek justice?
Two very important points. I dealt with this when I was U.S. attorney during the shutdown of the Obama administration. Two things. The notion that government is not affected by this and you're still getting your mail and your Social Security checks, that's a very good thing. But it does have an impact upon inside the Department of Justice. Attorneys doing their job representing you in the courts of America, civil cases, criminal cases, we had to make hard decisions about who goes home and, at least for the immediate future, does not get paid. And the second point, which I'll make very quickly, Pat, equally so, is these are civil servants. They are not political people. I was horrified. People were crying in my office because we were sending them home. They could not do their jobs, instructed not to do their jobs. That would be in violation of the law. People so committed to their jobs that they were firmly upset by what's going on. And I look to the Congress, and once again, I say, a pox on both your houses. Get your act together. Could you imagine being in a corporation, a nonprofit, and the board of directors being told, well, we just didn't get a budget put together in time, and so we're shutting down. I recognize there's an awful lot of argument on both sides about this, the merits of what's going on. But this is, frankly, once again, upsetting to me as a former government official, and it compromises the integrity of the government, prevents people from doing what they should be doing on behalf of the people of the United States of America. Congress, do your job.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito are here talking about the headlines of the week, and we thank them very much for being a part of our Friday. And remember, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lierley here and Mike Clemens talking a little sports with us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Nashville today. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right now.
But, what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The Grand County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating a death in the village of Montfort. The Grant County Dispatch Center received a 911 call from a residence on West Main Street in the village of Montfort, reporting a subject there with a gunshot wound. A sheriff's deputy was nearby and arrived on scene in approximately 3 minutes and located the subject deceased inside the residence. Assistance was requested from the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratory's crime scene response team to assist with processing the scene. Investigators, along with the Grand County Coroner, worked throughout the day and are continuing the investigation into this incident. No identifying information of the decedent is being released at this time, pending notification of family. There is no immediate danger to the public. To maintain the integrity of the investigation, The sheriff's office will not be releasing additional details at this time. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, and additional information will be released as it becomes available. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Grant County Sheriff's Office at 608-723-2157 or Grant County Crime Stoppers at 1-800-789-6600. A second judge has entered the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Conservative Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar announced her candidacy on Wednesday in a four-minute-long video in which she said, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court." The only other announced candidate for the open Supreme Court seat is Liberal Appeals Judge and former Democratic state lawmaker Chris Taylor, who Lazar referred to but did not name. Voters go to the polls next April to elect a successor to Justice Rebecca Bradley, who decided against seeking another 10-year term. The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. A three-vehicle crash resulted in injuries. Sunday morning at approximately 10:45, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center received a report of a motor vehicle crash resulting in serious injuries. The crash occurred on State Highway 27 near the intersection of Erickson Road between the village of Cashton and city of Westby in the town of Christiana. Terry Lee Erickson, 61, of rural Westby, was operating a vehicle attached to a single-axle utility trailer traveling south. Erickson was stopped at a private driveway signaling a left turn, waiting for northbound traffic to clear. Suzanne Kathleen Bassett, 54, of La Crosse, was operating a vehicle also traveling south behind the Erickson vehicle. While reducing her speed, Bassett was alert to a southbound semi-truck quickly approaching from the rear. Bassett took evasive action by steering right to avoid a collision. The semi-truck driven by Peyton Charles Dosh, 17, of Mauston. Dosh attempted to stop, and the semi began to jackknife the semi-truck, the utility trailer, detaching it from the Erickson vehicle. The semi-truck also struck a northbound vehicle driven by John Richard Sharp, 68, of Richland Center. Peyton Dosh was ejected, sustained serious injuries, and was flown to Mayo Clinic Health System in Rochester, Minnesota, by Gunderson Air. John Sharp was extricated from his vehicle by the Westby Christiana Fire Department and transported to Gunderson Health System Amplify in La Crosse by Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. Suzanne Bassett was not injured. Another alert motorist, Justin Dean Clark, 38, of rural Ontario, was traveling north behind the Sharp vehicle and took evasive action by maneuvering to the right. The Clark vehicle left the roadway and came to rest in a field along the east side of the roadway. Neither Clark nor his passengers, a 36-year-old female and two children, were injured. Assisting the Sheriff's Office were the Westby Police Department, Westby Christiana Fire Department, Westby Emergency Medical Responders, Monroe County Communications, Wisconsin State Patrol Technical Reconstruction Unit, Wisconsin State Patrol Motor Carrier Inspectors, Rochester Police Department, and Vernon County Emergency Management. The Cashton Fire Department also assisted with traffic control due to the highway being closed for several hours. Reedsburg Area Medical Center has been recognized as one of the cleanest hospitals in the United States by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. As reported by Becker's Hospital Review, the recognition is based on patient survey results collected by CMS that measure how patients feel about the cleanliness of the hospital's rooms and common areas. RAMC credits this achievement to its environmental services team and all employees who help maintain high standards of cleanliness. Keeping a hospital clean goes beyond appearance. It plays a vital role in preventing infections, supporting recovery, and creating a positive experience for patients and families. The registration for entries to the 2025 Canyon of Lights Parade as part of Center Color Fest is open. The parade will step off Saturday at 7. The theme for the parade this year is Harvest Hoedown. Parade entries are still being accepted. Participants, whether a civic organization, business, classic car, truck, or tractor, can register, by emailing marty.richards@richlandcenterwi.gov or by calling 608-630-2452. Ithaca Schools is celebrating homecoming this week with various activities, including dress-up days. The big annual event during homecoming week is the annual school fair. Houston Bolin is a senior at Ithaca High School and an organizer of the event.
The theme for this year's fair is going to be Wild West, and as the 103rd school fair, it's a pretty big deal, as we're one of the oldest fairs in the state.
Before the fair gets underway on Saturday, there is something new Friday night.
Friday night, we have the family fun night from 5 to 8.
Saturday's events begin in the morning with Bulldog Block Challenge Run Walk at 7. The Music Boosters Breakfast will be held in the community gym from 7 until 9. The livestock show and viewing of gym exhibits begin at 8. The Music Boosters will be serving pork sandwiches. We'll have a potato bar and a pie dessert silent auction all starting at 9. The Little Britches Show will be at 9:30 and the parade will step off at 10:30. The Kinchy's Pedal Pull will be at 1. Mascot races will be at 1:30, and the Hall of Fame ceremony will be held at 2. Saturday afternoon's homecoming football game will kick off at 2:30 and will feature Ithaca versus Royal. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This is day three of the government shutdown. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are furloughed. President Trump has said he is figuring out ways to fire them permanently. White House Budget Director Russell Vogt now saying that the administration will withhold $2 billion already earmarked for Chicago infrastructure projects. Earlier this week, $18 billion in infrastructure was also pulled from Blue State, New York. A shock in Southern California.
Sitting at home watching TV, and then all of a sudden it's kind of sounded like plane engines, almost a plane about to crash, and then a big whoosh. And the curtains all flipped up, the windows were slightly open, almost felt like an earthquake because the house shook, so we didn't know what was going on.
Keith Moore, who lives next door to the Chevron refinery in El Segundo that burned overnight. New information about the Manchester synagogue attack. It